This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks.
The Knicks win. The Knicks advance to the second round. Eliminate the Sixers in six games.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. Marco's stealing my teases. Although he pays it off right away. 877-337-6666. We also might have to get him in here, and he might have to do a little mea culpa for his belief of the Pacers ending the Knicks. And, oh, their legs, and they won't have it. And Hartenstein, he was exhausted. Yeah, Hartenstein looked exhausted as he was getting, 15 offensive rebounds. He looked real tired. But that was the last playoff game. We didn't have a playoff game last night. I didn't know what to do with myself. I got to actually do the book again. I was watching the Yankees. I was watching the Mets. Watching a little bit of playoff basketball, a little playoff hockey. And I'm ready for some playoff hockey tonight. And here's what I want to say. I am ready for playoff hockey. Are you? Are you Ranger fans? Because I got to tell you, the amount of disbelief in this team, the amount of pessimism around this team. I understand they lost after being up 2-0 last year. I understand. It was frustrating. I was frustrated by it. I understand they lost after leading Tampa Bay 2-0 a couple years ago in the Eastern Conference Finals. But this team all year long has bounced back, have battled back, has never said die, and now all of a sudden, we question everything. I know Panarin has not had a good postseason performance prior to this year. But man, oh man, the amount of people who are ready to declare the Rangers dead. I don't get it. And I hear a lot of, well, hockey. I heard this from a caller coming in listening to Keith. Hockey's a game of momentum. And, the Carolina Hurricanes have all the momentum. Okay. I guess that's a valid point, but let me ask you a question. Who had all the momentum when the Rangers took a 3-0 lead and scored an overtime goal to go up 3-0? Who had all the momentum? Did Carolina tuck their tails between their legs and say, whoops, I guess we'll wait till next year. The momentum's not in our favor. No. They battled back, won a tight game, and figured out a way to win another one. The Rangers have done this all year. The Rangers' penalty kill is still killer and has been great. I expect the power play to come through. I expect the players to be better. I expect an enormous performance. I expect at least not to be the same kind of flat they were the other day. I can't explain it. That's fair. I don't know what happened to them in Game 5 in Madison Square Garden. They were flat from the jump. It wasn't just the third period. A lot of people want to say this has been the story for the entire series, that they were lucky to be up. Hogwash. But it was true for Game 5. They were lucky to be up 1-0 in the third period. And all the mistakes and every, all the lack of enthusiasm and all the lack of toughness and the just being flat the entire game caught up to them in the third period and they were overrun. But I am ready for tonight. I fully expect this team, this group, this goaltender, these star players, this power play that has got them here all year long to show up. And I understand Carolina's a damn good team. And I understand they've battled back here, and the momentum, without question, is on their side. You win two games in a row, you got the momentum. But as Jalen Brunson said, what he's learned about these playoffs is that one game doesn't mean anything when you're looking at the next one. All the momentum was on the Pacers' side. And then what happened? And if you don't think that this Ranger group, and I know we compare the two teams here, but it's the Garden Party, and we're going to compare these two teams. If you don't think the Rangers are capable of the same thing that the Knicks are capable of, to get off the deck after losing two games in a row and give you an excellent performance, I'm sorry, but they are. And this group all year long has hardly had a stretch where they've lost three games in a row. I still believe in Igor. I still believe in Panarin, Zibanejad, Kreider, Lafreniere, Trocheck. These guys have done it all year long. Fox. They've been the best team in hockey. They've held off the Carolina Hurricanes. If I say it again, I'm going to rip my lips off. They've held off this Carolina team all year long. I just can't understand the amount of... It's ridiculous how many people... I talk to my buddies. I hear it in. I see it on Twitter. I hear it in the phone calls. Why are we scared, Ranger fans? It's two losses. It's a series. It's a little adversity. Now, while I think the need for the adversity is a way overblown story, I don't need... One game, fine. They don't need to be in this predicament. I really don't think they needed to lose that game in Madison Square Garden. I think they would have just been fine waiting for their opponent in the Eastern Conference Finals. But it doesn't mean they can't overcome it. They've got a new coach. They've been a different team all year long. And I don't care what happened last year, and I don't care what happened 2 years ago. I don't care. And then I hear the same thing, too. Like, oh, if they lose tonight, I don't like their chances in Game 7 in Madison Square Garden. And why not? Why not exactly? You know what their record is in Game 7s at Madison Square Garden? 8-1. 8-1. If you want to talk about history, if you want to look back at the Devils series, you want to look back at the Tampa Bay series, let's look back to other Game 7s played in that building. The Rangers win it. The Rangers almost exclusively win it. And I understand the power play's gone cold, and I understand the shot differential, and I understand all the crap, and I understand how good Carolina is. But I am floored at the amount of pessimism heading into this game. I think the Rangers are going to win this game. I know the Rangers are going to win this series. They are not losing four in a row, not with this team, not with this goaltender, not with this coach, not with this group. They've already proven they can win in this building. Yes, it's going to be raucous. Yes, the crowd's going to be going crazy. And yes, all the momentum. But the momentum only lasts until the Rangers score the first goal. And the Rangers are going to come out flying. I have no doubt. I have no doubt they're embarrassed by that performance. They've had a couple of days to look at it and think about it and have the coach, you know, go over the tape and drill it in them that their effort in that game is unacceptable. And I'm not going to stop believing in what's been the best team in all of the NHL this year because of a couple of losses. And I know, I guess Kreider's gotten some flack and some of the Rangers have gotten some flack from the playing the, well, if you would have told me game. And I understand that. Never my favorite phrase, especially when you're up 3-0. But to say... You know, if you would have told us we were up 3-2 heading into Game 6 against the second-best team in the NHL, I think we would have taken it. Yeah, I understand that, and I agree with it. And yes, it changes when you're up 3-0. I get that. But ultimately, he's not wrong. We all expected it to be here. We all expected a Game 6, and so now it's here. And who cares how we got here? All that matters is what happens tonight, the effort they put forth, and the way they play this game, not last game, not the game before, not game seven last year against the Devils, not the series against Tampa Bay 2 years ago. This game right here. And I know that considering his history and considering that the only thing he's known for or remembered for, both in his career with the Rangers at the moment and last game, is getting, you know, either disappearing or getting beat on that putback goal, Panarin, I expect to have an enormous game. I think the power play is going to be dynamic. I think the penalty kill is going to be as good as it's been all series. And I think the Rangers are going to stand up, put their skates in the ice, and say, this far but no farther. So wake up, Ranger fans. Let's get going. Let's get pumped. 877-337-6666. There's a lot of issues. No team is perfect, despite being the President Trophy winner. And yes, all the momentum is in Carolina's favor. So what? All the momentum was in the Pacers' favor. All the momentum was in the Rangers' favor up 3-0. They can go out there in the first period and change the momentum. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Look, coming from an Island fan who hates the Rangers, right? But I got to be objective about it. I mean, I agree with you. I don't see Carolina winning one in a row. I can understand why they'd be nervousness, though. But, you know, on the Rangers' part.
Nervousness is fair. I mean, we're all nervous. It's a big game, and by no means am I saying the Rangers can't lose it. But
right, and they've been very close with each other all season. I mean, right up to the end. I mean, it's, you know, in all the games, with the exception of the other day, you know, were one-goal games. I mean, went down. I mean, two overtime games. You know, and the first game, all one goal games. The game four was, I mean, game five was the only one that was won by more than a goal.
Yep.
That I'm aware of. I mean, so it's fair to feel that way. I think, you know, the Rangers, in my opinion, though, would have to score more than a one goal lead, you know, beyond the first period for them. I mean, because Carolina is just too good to. I think it.
I'm not saying a one goal lead in the first period wins you the game, but doesn't it steal momentum?
Oh, no, but I mean, but as far as shutting the crowd up, though, I think they need more than one goal lead after the first period.
Yeah, I mean, to shut the crowd up, but the momentum swings a little bit now. You know, I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's all I'm saying. Like, you know, you gotta start somewhere. I'm not saying 1-0 is going to be good enough to win this game. I clearly agree with you. Unless Igor stands on his head, which is more than possible.
Well, that's the and that's the other thing too, because as we've seen in the playoffs, I mean, you know, goaltending, you know, more often than not, you know, is what wins you the game. And clearly, now the only thing you have to, I would say, if they didn't have that extra game, you know, day off in between. Yeah, I might be a little concerned because of the two overtime games. You know, maybe he's a little tired, but that extra day should certainly, you know, benefit him as well. I mean, it's going to benefit both teams, but you have to, if you're a Ranger fan, have to like the extra day in between just to kind of get your legs back in there.
Yeah.
But what's the status of? Who's that player who came back after?
Filippito.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard. They're not going to release anything. It's head injury, and thank you for the call, Eric. We're going to have to find out. He's going to be a game-time decision. Hopefully he is. Hopefully he's skating on the ice, and they'll have to make a decision. I think they're better with him. There's no doubt. And, yes, I do think the day off, it's not so much to get the legs. That's part of it. That benefits Carolina, too. But I think it's more of just to get away from it. Have that extra day of feeling sick about it, go over everything, and just get separate those games and get more refocused. And I think, hopefully, they're going to come out with a much better effort. I fully expect them to. But I just, and listen, nervous? Of course. Nervous every game. That's what makes this great. That feeling in the pit of your stomach. You wake up in the morning, it's game day. Like if you are a true diehard fan, that's it. Like obviously you got work, you got whatever. Today I had to take my son to kindergarten orientation as he's getting ready to, he's going to go into kindergarten next year. Like there are things that'll come through your day. and you'll have to go to work or, you know, deal with something, go somewhere, take this one to practice, or, you know, if you're younger, whatever you're doing, going to school, got class, got an exam. But you wake up, I mean, it's game day. You feel it in the pit of your stomach. Game turns on. Of course it's nerves. No one's saying that you shouldn't be nervous. The Carolina Hurricanes are a damn good hockey team. I was nervous in game four, up 3-0. You're always nervous. I was nervous it could get to this point. I was nervous they could get to a game seven. But there's a difference between nervous and giving up. And I've heard too many Ranger fans, be it on social media or on this station, claim that the series is over and that it's swung too far in the opposite direction and this Ranger group is a flawed fraud of a team whose stars disappear. It's the same thing as last year. They take an early lead. They don't try and, you know, they don't try and be aggressive. And they don't shoot the puck and Panarin's a zero. And like, this is all a couple of losses. The team won its first seven playoff games. And it's lost two. They're 7-2. And yet it feels like many Ranger fans think there's no chance. Oh, they've got a chance, my friends. Now, I don't know if they... Listen, Carolina's damn good. And it's going to be... And especially, like, the one thing I fear is that the same thing I felt feared about Game 5, and it ended up not coming to fruition, even though they lost anyway. My fear is the Carolina power play gets going. That's the scare. That the penalty kill isn't as dominant as it's been, because it's hard to be this... I mean, they have scored more goals than given up on the power on the penalty kill. I mean, they've given up one penalty. They've given up one goal this entire series. That's hard to continue doing. So my fear is that that group gets hot, or the Ranger, you know, penalty kill slows down, because that's a dynamic that they've dominated even in the losses, and it needs to keep that way if they want to win this game, if they want to win one more game. So sure, I'm nervous. All the talking points I just said have merit, but I just refuse to just give up on them. And I refuse not to think that they're a good team or that they're still in the driver's seat of this series. They are still in the driver's seat of this series. They have to win a home game. They have to win one game, and they have to win a home game. The Carolina Hurricanes have to win two games and a road game. The team in the driver's seat is the New York Rangers. Don't think anything other. Momentum blows with the wind in these series. I'm sorry, it just does. You can't call up and scream that, hey, it's a game of momentum. All the momentum's in their favor. They can't. How do you get back from this? They were down 3-0, lost at home in overtime, and yet they were able to overcome that momentum and get back into this series. Momentum is important. No one's saying it's not, but it's not some sort of overarching series definer in every way, shape, and form. Otherwise, the Rangers would have won this thing already. Momentum be damned. If the Rangers play their game and come out in the first period and get that first goal and put fear into them and maybe, you know, take the crowd a little bit out of it early, and continue to kill off power plays and maybe get a power play goal, you'll see how quick momentum changes. And I just, both of these teams have shown us so much. And, you know, I've gotten a couple things about being an overwhelming homer here with these two teams. How can you not be? Like, honestly, how can you not be? And I don't think it's being a homer when you watch what the Knicks have done and what the Rangers have done all year and the way they've gone through this playoffs. Now, if they lose, we'll kill them. If the Rangers lose this series, it's a debacle, and they have to think about the core of this team. There's no doubt. If they lose four in a row and blow a 3-0 lead to this Carolina team, and Zibanejad and Kreider and specifically Panarin go quiet and just, you know, fade into the night, and they lose 4-1 and 5-2 over the next two games, and it's embarrassing. You got to think about the core of this team. No doubt. But until that happens, I still believe in Igor. I still believe in Fox. I still believe in the top players on this team, and I believe in this overall group that has been the best team in hockey. And two losses isn't going to change that, no matter where we think the momentum is for a moment. Because you can't spell momentum without moment. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just said it. I'm not sure if anybody else said it. Maybe I should trademark it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Speak your mind. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
Yeah. I can't help but... this is my favorite rejoin, especially right now. Especially what's going on, because this takes me back. I mean, I had the Salt-N-Pepa tape that was, you know, part of the rotation in my Walkman in the early 90s. It was the Boyz II Men 2 album. I had both Cool Harmony, whatever the name of the first album was. But I loved the Boyz II Men 2 album. That was, like, On Bended Knee was my jam. But, like, for whatever reason, it reminds me of that time period. Shoop, Salt-N-Pepa, In Vogue, What a Man. What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Say it again now. But like those Dookie and Green Day, I've been like right now, as we're going through this, you know, garden party and all these feelings about 1994, it's nice to hear those songs that were, you know, defined my childhood, because that was really the beginning of me listening to music. Sort of, besides, you know, the stuff my dad was teaching me, the Beatles and the Stones and the Doors and all that stuff, like my own music with my friends. Dookie was really the first one. And I'm not sure when The Score came out, but that was like a big one too. I didn't stop listening to the Fugees for like 6 months. That album was just incredible. But, yeah, I mean, the best, Shoop, Salt-N-Pepa. Salt-N-Pepa, I liked all that. I liked the R&B too. So I was big into the Boyz II Men. I even had SWV. If you remember Sisters with Voices, they had a couple of hits. I had that on a tape for my Walkman. I had that cliched yellow and gray Walkman like everybody else had. Still love my tapes, man. Bon Jovi. He came out with the best, that Crossroads, the greatest hits album, sort of, and it had the single of Always was the new song for that album. That all reminds me of the same time period. Knicks, playoffs, Indiana Pacers. Listening to those songs, the best. And hopefully we get what we got then, and we'll see. Both teams getting ready for big game sixes on the road with game sevens in their pocket if needed, but hopefully neither team needs them. Hopefully the Rangers take care of business tonight in Carolina. Let's see what Nick and Howell has to say on the subject. What's up, Nick?
C-Mac, how you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I'm actually en route to Carolina right now.
Nice.
We got no pessimistic Ranger fans right here. We're ready to go. We're about 5 hours out, and any pessimistic Ranger fans out there need to know this team was built for this.
Let's do
it. We're going in there, and as Loogie would say, we got the dogs.
Yes.
Coming out, Rangers in six. Let's go, Rangers. Let's go, Nick.
Let's go. You're heading down. You got how many guys you say you have with you?
There's four of us total, and we are 5 hours and 14 minutes away.
Nice. Good luck, man. Let's have a hell of a day. What are you guys doing in the meantime? You're going to get there early in the morning. What do you got going on?
We'll figure something out.
I'm sure you will. All right, Nick. Be well. Let's go. Now, those are fans right there. They probably, especially driving. Oh, yeah, you're getting there. Cheap. Tickets are probably cheaper than, obviously, Madison Square Garden. You go in there, try and cheer your team on. And, yes, let's get pumped. Those four knuckleheads in a car right now driving down to Carolina, pumping Bohemian Rhapsody. Or maybe Salt and Pepper. A little 1990 Dookie. When I Come Around. That's it, man. I am pumped for this game tonight. I am pumped for this Ranger team. They are built for this. I honestly believe that. I do think this team is different than the teams of the last couple of years. I do. I do not think they're a group that will blow a three-game lead. I do not think they're a group that will lose four games in a row. I just don't. I refuse to believe it. Until it happens, I'll be honest, I am supremely confident, and in a game seven, I will be supremely confident for both teams, both the Knicks and the Rangers. I will believe until the wheels fall off. Going back home, Madison Square Garden, game seven, why wouldn't I believe in them? Because they lost three in a row to a very good team. They won three in a row. They lost three in a row. Now they're even. Didn't stop Carolina from winning the fourth game after losing three in a row. So why can't the Rangers in their building win a game seven? I absolutely think they can. Same thing with the Knicks. If the Knicks go into Indiana on Friday and get pounded, because the Pacers, let's be fair, haven't lost a game in their building in the playoffs, and I think it's been a while, even dating back into the regular seasons, they've been a decent home team here for a month, month and a half. If they go in and lose that game and the Pacers role players and bench players dominate like they have at different times, and you know, McBride and DiVincenzo and Hart can't hit the broadside of a barn and miss every shot and they get beat, the Knicks will win game seven. That is my stance right now. I think both teams are live for game six. If they lose, they will both win game seven. They are moving on. Both teams will be in the Eastern Conference Finals. 877-337-6666. And as we do that, let me tell you why they are not alone and why I still believe, as I believed last year, only to be just have my spirits just absolutely squashed by an injury four snaps into the year. Why I believe the New York Jets will be in the AFC Championship game. I felt it last year. I still feel it this year. And as much as now we've had a full year to deal with the experience that is Aaron Rodgers, and I still wish he would just pipe down and sit one out and not do every interview and not talk about everything that pops into his head. While it's a free country and he's more than welcome to do so, especially when he's, you know, lecturing the rest of the organization on doing things that don't predicate winning, and he's out there talking whatever he's talking. Yeah, it's annoying. Yes, I'm not sure if I'm sold on this coaching group, and last year did nothing to make me feel any better about it. But I do think in the offseason they've revamped their offensive line. They've added some pieces in the wide receiver game. And I just think this team, as talented as it is, with Aaron Rodgers under center, is a legitimate team and a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And let me tell you why the schedule releasing makes me feel even better, because I love the beginning of this schedule for the New York Jets. And I believe very firmly, I've always have, football, unlike any other sport, and probably just because of the nature of the limited number of games you play, but in no other sport do good teams become bad teams with bad starts, and do bad teams or average teams become good teams with good starts. You want to talk about momentum, as we're talking about with the Rangers series, and we have over the course of the Knicks series, momentum at the beginning of a football season changes who you are fundamentally. And this team, in particular, believes in Aaron Rodgers to such an extent that their season, obviously part of it is the quarterback who came in replacing him, were all awful, namely Zach Wilson. But you can believe in something so much that it can will you to manifest even more than you're capable of, or it can tear you down if it fails. And I think it's so important for this Jet team to get off to a good start. And if they do, it will reinforce all the belief that they have in Aaron Rodgers. All the from last year, and I know it's a year ago now, but I don't think it changes. You heard them still talking about how he was practicing, how he was able to come back from the injury at a faster clip, ultimately never getting to the finish line, but still, his ability to recover from the injury, be around the team, still throwing great balls at practice. They talk about him like he's, you know, something just you can't believe. The entire team believes in him. You saw it last year during the Hard Knocks, and how, you know, even the defense was like, look, all we have to do is this because of, look at the great quarterback we have. And I firmly believe that still exists with this team. And I think they're talented enough. I think they help the offensive line protect them enough. They've added enough pieces to go along with Wilson. And, you know, I still believe in every aspect of this team. The defense with all the young talent they have on it and Sauce Gardner. The run game is obviously excellent with a young, explosive running back. Like, I think this team can be anything they want to be, and I do believe that if they actually get Aaron Rodgers and they see him play and the difference between what he is and what they've had, and if they get off to a good start, they could get on a roll. And if they get on a bad start, and if they come out of the gate really slow, well, then you start to tinker and you start to chip away at the belief this team has. And for me, looking at the schedule, yes, they open up September 9th, Monday Night Football against the San Francisco 49ers. That is a tough game. I don't expect them to win that game. I think they can, but that's a tough game to go win. Then they're on the road at Tennessee, who I don't expect to be a very good football team, even though they made some moves in the offseason. I still don't expect. That's a very winnable game in Tennessee. Then they come home for the lousy Patriots on Thursday Night Football. Then they go, they're home again against the Broncos the next week at 1 o'clock. That's a very winnable game. Then they take on and go to Minnesota to take on the Vikings, who could be starting a rookie quarterback nobody believes in. That's a winnable game. Before they head to Monday Night Football again for the Buffalo Bills, who I think are going to take a downturn this year. But you could be looking at a 4-1 start. I think after game one, they have four winnable games right out the chute. And to start this season 4-1 with Aaron Rodgers and to head into that home Monday night game against the team that's owned this division and to have a repeat of the night where Aaron Rodgers ran out into the field with the American flag and the spotlight, and as he was about to usher in a new era of Jet football, ultimately to have it stuffed from us four plays in, to have another Monday night game against those Buffalo Bills, I think that could be a turning point of the season. Then you follow it up by Pittsburgh, who we still don't know about. the Patriots again. They played the Patriots twice in the first half of the season. Texans, Cardinals, Colts. I mean, say the Texans are a loss. Say the Bills are a loss. And toss up on Pittsburgh. You're talking about winnable games against Tennessee, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Patriots again, the Cardinals, and the Colts before you get to your Week 10 bye. I mean, you're talking about before the bye having, in my mind, a very good chance at an easy 7 wins. Now, we all know things change, and it's obviously way too early to do all this, and I'm giving wins before anything's played, but I'm just saying, and especially early on those first 4 games, if they're 4-1 heading into that game against Buffalo, I honestly believe that that is as good, and especially maybe it's because I'm a Giant fan, and we have watched so many of these years just completely fall apart with terrible starts. Seasons we had promise, seasons we believed in on some level. The second year of Joe Judge, that the second year of McAdoo, where we had belief in the team. All right, maybe not a Super Bowl contender, although I think that was the thought process after a playoff year with McAdoo in that second year. And I went to training camp that year with Francesa, and I promise you, the Giants thought they were a Super Bowl caliber team. They had the great defense. All the guys they added were all pros. Collins had an all-pro year. They added Olivier Vernon. They added Snacks Harrison, Janoris Jenkins. All those guys were incredible. All their free agent signings were incredible. They put all that money into the defense, and they all hit. They had a slow offense, but they had in that the playoff year, but you got Eli Manning still there. You got Odell Beckham Jr., one of the more explosive running backs in the game. They added Marshall to the wide receiver core. The Giants thought they were going to have a monster year. And it fell on their face within the first 3 or 4 weeks. This is the beginning of the NFL season is so important. I'm always a big believer of give me my tough games early, and I'll figure out a way to be a better football team down the line and play tougher games. I want the early favor schedule, and I do believe the first 5 games, the Jets have every opportunity to be 4-1. And if that happens, that feeds into the belief that they are a different team with Aaron Rodgers. And as long as he stays healthy, I think they are. And then you get to the Giants schedule. We'll go over it more in a little bit, but I do have to just say I'll fall into line with everybody else. I know that I hated it when it happened. I always do. Last year's Christmas game is an absolute disaster. I hate, with a passion, hate. And I know, what are you going to do on Thanksgiving? But it is now 3 consecutive years, these 2 major holidays, have at least 1 Giant game. 2 years ago, they played on Thanksgiving. Now they're playing again on Thanksgiving. Last year was Christmas. It is brutal. Because I don't know about you, and I guess I had this argument with a lot of fans. I can't just passively watch the Giants. Right? I can do that with a Washington-Dallas game. I can do that with a Buffalo-Detroit game. My wife wants to put the parade on in the morning. Fine, you leave it on. You're helping cook. You're helping clean. You're doing what you're doing. You're traveling to your in-laws. That's fine. You can listen to it on the radio. Do whatever. Turn it on. Oh, where? Do you mind putting the game on? Oh, okay. Oh, it's 14-7 at the end of the first half. Okay. Like, it's not a big deal. You check in on it, you check out on it. I can't do that with the Giants. My whole day is shaped around the Giant game. If you're a Jet fan, your whole day is shaped around the Jet game. And on Thanksgiving, especially, you know, and I guess, listen, I'll raise my hand. I'm being selfish, and I'm talking about my life in particular. I don't want to put your life, but as fans, I think at least I know how you treat the game. But for me, a guy who owns the television because of all the things I have to watch, the idea that Sundays are, and for so many of us, you don't have to be in sports radio to own Sundays and tell your wife no or your family no to a million different things. Sorry, you can't do that. Sorry, I can't take you to that birthday party. You got to wait until mom gets home. Sorry, I can't do this. We can't go over to Uncle Ted's retirement party. You know, we can't do all these things because I got to watch football on Sundays. And then on Thanksgiving, where it's about family and now I got to be parked in front of the couch. It sucks. It is the worst. Especially that prime window for the Dallas game. The worst. If you want to give me the primetime game at 8 o'clock, all right. I can get through the whole day by 8 o'clock. We've had two dinners and a dessert. I despise the Giants playing on Thanksgiving. And now they have the Christmas game on Netflix. It's just, I mean, I understand you want to make a buck. I understand you want, I mean, God knows they don't need it. And add another streaming service and Netflix gets into the arena. But man, I just, it's just brutal. And three consecutive years having a major holiday, the Thanksgiving or Christmas, have a Giant game on it is the worst. And don't tell me, I argued with Craig when this happened a couple years ago. You make a plate, you sit in front of your TV, everyone sits around, it's a good, no one cares. I don't know about you, maybe you have a bunch of 20-year-olds in your family who all love football. I don't. I got little kids and in-laws who care more about soccer than football. Don't give me that. Alex was very happy about that. Soccer sucks. I mean, it just drives me nuts. I can't. It's absolutely the worst. Absolutely the worst. They don't. And we'll see what the Giants are. And then again, with the Giants, the story is Hard Knocks, which John Mara has been quoted in previous years saying, "If you see the quote was." If you get a story or a press release that the Giants are doing Hard Knocks, it'll be followed by the press release that I'll be joining my father in the cemetery. Something along those lines, like over his dead body, pretty much. And I've always believed he would stick to it, and I suppose in some ways he has, as this is going to be Hard Knocks off-season edition. Dun, 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 for the first time ever, where they're going to be focusing on, which is just as bad. Let's be honest, if you're the owner or you don't like people behind the scenes, I mean, while they're making decisions about Saquon Barkley and they're making decisions about what they believe in Daniel Jones and prepping for the draft, talking about all this stuff, I mean, I guess I'm fascinated by it. It'll be a different element as it'll air in July, and I believe it takes all the events that happen between January and July with the New York Giants and building an offseason. And listen, they definitely had somewhat of an interesting offseason. They lost Saquon Barkley. All the trials and tribulations with Daniel Jones and what they were going to do at the draft, having the sixth overall pick. They make some moves. They trade for the pass rusher out of Carolina. I mean, they let go of both Barkley and McKinney. So we'll see how all that plays out. Obviously, the turmoil of the coaching staff. I'm wondering if they have footage of Wink Martindale telling Brian Daboll to go F himself and walking out, then the whole thing's worth it. If they have that footage, whoo, let me see that. Let me see Wink stand up and tell him to go F himself and walk out. That I want to see. But, I mean, it's definitely interesting. I've always been a proponent for wanting my team to have it. I've always been disappointed in the stance of the Maras. And I understand why. I understand why nobody wants to do it. But you know what? Go make the playoffs every once in a while and you won't have to do it. But there is nothing better than Hard Knocks being your team. Last year, the Jets was tremendous. I understand it ended up feeling like a curse or whatever, but I would love my team to be on Hard Knocks, to feel that close. I've talked about this with football. I feel, as a fan, as much as you might love your football team, and it might be your favorite sport without question, and football Sundays are the greatest thing ever. Like there's no doubt. Football Sundays are the absolute best. Sitting around watching all the games your team plays. I love football and TV are the perfect combination. Better than lamb and tuna fish. It's the perfect combination. But the thing with me and why I particularly love baseball, I feel a connection to a baseball. If you are a diehard baseball team, and on some level basketball and hockey too, if you have a deep love and you know interest in your team and you follow them every day, like I feel so much more connected to the Yankees than I do the Giants, even as a diehard Giant fan. It's every day. You watch the post games. I mean, I watch a little bit of the Giant post game, obviously, for what we do. But I mainly consume it by going back and watching it later, because if they play at 1 o'clock, the minute the Giant game ends, guess what I'm doing? I'm moving on to the 4 o'clock games, and I'm watching more football. I mean, after a brutal loss, or if there's a distinct play or something I want to get a real definitive answer on, an injury or something, I don't know, then maybe I'll stick with the post game longer than usual. But for the most part, I go on to watching football, and I know the clips are going to be online. I'll watch it later. But even then, like, it's not the same, connection. They play once a week. The coach talks three times a week. The quarterback will talk once a week. The coaches talk once a week. Like, it's just where it's like Aaron Boone, I hear from every single day. Aaron Judge, I see and hear from every single day. They have individual plays where I see their face, and they give me their exact statistics. And it's just like it's completely different. And so to have a Hard Knocks show or something like it, and I know the Jets have, one drive or whatever it's called, and the Giants have had things like it where you can watch those shows and try and, feel closer to your team or know more about your team. But the idea you could have Hard Knocks and get all these side stories and learn so much about the guys, see how it operates, see how the coaches talk to their players, be like a fly on the wall inside the locker room, like that has always been extremely appealing to me. Whether I found a particular series or a season or not, interesting. Whether, they're doing the Bengals again? The Bengals suck. Like, sometimes the show's interesting, sometimes it's not. There are people who like the Jets series season, there's people who don't. But ultimately, I, as a football fan, welcome any opportunity to have an inside look and a deeper connection to my football team. Because I feel like sometimes it can get lost in the overarching Football Sunday's tremendous. And you kind of lose it. And you're so focused on your fantasy football team. Because that's the other thing, too, right? Oh, I got to go put on the Texans. I need Nico Collins to have a big day. How many yards does Tariq Hill have yet? Let me go put on the Dolphins. Like, that's if you can. If you have the Red Zone channel or whatever. It just feels that way. So I welcome any opportunity. 877-337-6666. Mike, I see you. We'll take your phone call going forward on the Giants, on the schedule, on my belief that this Jets schedule plays perfect for them because they do have four very winnable games in the first five. And if they can start out with four wins in the first five, if they go 4-1 heading into Monday night against the Bills at home, I know I've ad infinitum and people have, gotten on me for the power of belief. I believe that. And I think they believe in Aaron Rodgers. And for all the talk and all the nonsense and everything that's gone on with him besides playing football because of the injury, if he gets on the field and this offense clicks for the first time in forever, and this new revamped, albeit veteran and injury-prone offensive line stays healthy and blocks for him, and Williams is healthy, and Garrett Wilson all of a sudden really shows his potential and becomes what other wide receivers have become when Aaron Rodgers is throwing them the ball, and this team scores points, and the defense continues to play the way it's played, and they get off to a 4-1 start, and everybody feels like this is a brand new Jets team, that's the kind of thing that can carry you. And they might even lose the Bills game, or they might lose a tough game here or there. No, I don't think they're going undefeated. But football, like no other sport, for me, you get off to that good start, average teams become good teams become great teams, and vice versa. Good teams can become bad teams, and average teams can become lousy teams, depending on the start. The momentum a beginning of a season can bring you is enormous. And I honestly believe the Jets are set up to get off to a good start, which could change everything. Jets in the AFC Championship, Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Finals, and the Yankees, of course, winning a World Series. I mean, is there anyone who could stop them? What a year we're about to have.